Picking up where we left off on our study of what we believe, we're going to talk about the Holy Spirit. No, that's not it. We're not talking about the Holy Spirit. We talked about Him last week. Make sure I got this. All right. Talking about the church. It should say, what is the church? Actually, in here, the Apostles' Creed reads, I believe in God the Father, Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into the dead, and on the third day rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father, and He will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, in the Holy Universal Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. The core beliefs of what it means to be a Christian, right? And even today we have churches gathering all around the globe on this Sunday to worship Him. And it struck me as I was down in Ecuador at this point, probably 9-10 years ago. And their church service started at 10 o'clock. And they're down below. And so their church service is starting at almost the same time as our church service. And I always, in the back of my mind, just kind of remember that, right? That today, right now, as we are singing and we are looking at the Word, there are Christians around the world doing the same thing, serving and praising our same God. And so in here, we talk about the idea of the Catholic Church, and I'll tell you, as a Protestant growing up, that ruffled my feathers. I remember when we were down in Bible school, and we had, ever had one of those teachers that liked to kind of stir the pot? You ever had a teacher that's kind of that way? And we had a professor who liked to do that. And so one of the first classes we had under him, he wrote on the chalkboard, back in the day we used chalkboards, and wrote on the chalkboard and said, "You are the Catholic Church." And all us young Bible students, and he just did that on purpose just to get us going. Of course, we're going to look at this in a little bit, but Catholic is just an old term for universal. Not to be confused with the Roman Catholic Church, which is going through the process right now of picking their pope, who is central out of Rome. But just means universal. We see that some of the Apostle Creeds will use the word one Christian church, and they try to soften that up a little bit. But you know better now, right? We've talked about this a few times. So you're not caught off guard of that. But we're going to look at the idea of what the church is and what it's not. Oftentimes we talk about the idea of the church, and I remember as a kid, maybe you learned this as well, but what? Here's the church. Here's the steeple. Do what? Open the door and see all the people. Right? Drive by it, and you see the church, and we think of the steeple, we think of the bells, we think of the white buildings, we think of that as what a church is. The Bible doesn't talk about the church in those ways. In here, the term comes from a Greek word that just means a called out assembly. We're called out. Jesus Christ Himself has called us together as believers in Him, unto Himself for a purpose and for a cause, all for His honor and His glory. So you are the church. I would say you are part of the Catholic Church. Right? You are part of that universal church that builds up the body of Christ. Jesus Himself in Matthew 16 says, "And I say also to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not prevail against it." Jesus is building His church, not onto Peter, right? We go through that whole passage and He asks them, "Who do people say that I am?" And they say, "Hey, you're a prophet, you're this, you're that." And He says, "Who do you say I am?" And He says, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And He tells Peter, look, it's on that rock, it's that profession of faith that Jesus Christ is the one that the church is built on. He is the corner of it all. He's the cornerstone, the scripture says. And He will build His church. Not buildings and bricks and wood. If you guys noticed, we got the windows are back in place. I don't know if you guys have noticed that. I was like, oh, I always liked the open windows better. But too late now. They're up in there and they're all back in, right? And some churches have wonderful stained glass. I am really nerdy. I have different pastor friends or I'm in a church. I love to get tours of churches. I like to see and how things are structured out and all those things. I just, maybe an occupational hazard. But I love to kind of see the nuts and bolts behind the scenes of different churches and the structures and the buildings and architecture and all those things. But folks, you are the church. People are the church. And Christ is the head, right? Not Peter. Right now the Catholics are in the process. I think the conclave starts on the 7th, right? They're going to pick a new pope. And he said, yeah, he is the head of the church. No, Christ is the head of the church. Or some person said, well, you know, that I'm in charge of the church. I'm just the pastor. I'm just the servant. I'm just the shepherd, right? I am not in charge. This is Christ's church. And we ask for his leading and his guidance. And he is the one who will build this church. Ephesians tells us that he put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body and the fullness of him who fills all in all. That in your bulletins, I put a little pamphlet, a little flyer for you. It talks about the metaphors that are used for the body of Christ, right? The church, we are called the body, we are called the bride, we're a building, we're considered a flock, and he is the good shepherd. We're a family. We're going to close this off with family of God. I'm so glad to be a part of the family of God. Right? So I'm not just your pastor, I'm your brother in the Lord. Right? We're a temple, a holy temple, built up upon God for the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. The Bible says we are the pillar of truth. We talked about this a couple Sundays ago at night. That in here, the church is called to stand upon the truth of his word and not compromise and become like the world. And we're an army and we engage in spiritual warfare. And we're seeing today so many things that are going on today. I believe there are demonic forces at work. I believe there's a spiritual war that's taking place. And we're living that out. The Bible says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but with principalities and powers and wickedness in high places. Right? We want to point to the person that's in the office or the person who is doing this and the person who's doing that. While they may be the front of it, there's a spiritual battle that's taking place behind for the souls of our nation. And especially, I believe, today for our children, if you watch what's going on in the world. So we are called to all these things. And, I could preach over a month and break these things all down of the importance of it all. For this morning, I just want to remind you of what we are, that the body of Christ is a gathering of people, called out assembly with Christ as our head. Not only that, it says in Ephesians, and now therefore you are no longer strangers or foreigners, but we are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus in Christ being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building being fitted together grows into a holy temple in the Lord. As we are gathered together and you heard the gospel from someone and they heard the gospel from someone. And in us, it's interesting that all of us could trace our salvation back down to the apostles and actually to Jesus Christ himself. Because they heard it from someone, and they heard it from someone, and they heard it from someone. And over 2,000 years, the word has gone forth mouth to mouth. And we are tied in together. We are connected into something that's bigger than all of us. Right? In our house, every once in a while, my wife and I will reminisce a little bit about a time that before we had kids. And my daughter usually doesn't like that because she's kind of like, hey, you know. And I'm like, we had a life before you. And it was a good life. I mean, I'm not taking away that it's bad now. Pray for me, though. She's on the road. Right? But there is a life before. And somehow we think that we've come onto the scene and life just began. And the world just began when we came onto the scene. And yet that is so far from the truth. We are carrying the lineage of the faith of those who have gone on before. And this is our generation. This is our time to carry the torch, if you will, to carry forth all these things. Romans 12 puts it really well. It says we are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. Hebrews 11 talks about all those who have gone on before, and now it's our job to carry on the gospel to the next generation. But I love this. We are no longer strangers or foreigners, but we are brought in. And talks about some of those metaphors, right? We're citizens. We're building. We're a temple. All these things are brought in. And in here, we have value in Christ to be used by Him. It doesn't matter if you're Jew or Gentile. Jesus, while He was talking to a Jewish audience, He says, I have other sheep. Right? They're not of this fold. That in here, the gospel has gone out to everyone. It's not just a Western idea. It's not just for a certain nationality. It isn't for a certain class of people. I praise God, the gospel has gone out to everyone. And Jesus actually uses a parable, and He says, look, those rejected the gospel, He goes, therefore go out into the highways and byways. Go into the gutters and go into the alleys. Find the unworthy and share my truth and my love with them and invite them into the kingdom of God. What a blessing that is. We talk about the church of God. It isn't a nationality. It isn't a class. But it's all of those who are redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Doesn't matter your background. Doesn't matter what you have done. He says, come and be a part. Corinthians says that by one Spirit we are baptized into one body, whether Jew or Greek, whether slave or free, have all been made to drink of one Spirit. That in here is all through Jesus Christ that we are brought into the family of God. We are brought into the church. And so many of the divisions that we have today, you know, I thought racism was going to be over by the time I was at this age. I remember being a kid, you know, I grew up in the 80s, and we were taught to still judge people by their character. Right? In here, we all had our differences, but we're united together. I had friends of all colors. I have family members of different nationalities and ethnicities. And it was just no big deal. And something terribly has gone wrong that we've stirred up this racism and this division costs. I remember someone talking to me and said, well, you're part of the Western church and you're a white man. And so, you know, you're racist. And I'm like, how do you get that? Because you have a racist religion. And I'm like, wait a minute. My Savior came to this world. And guess what? He was a Jew, a first century Jew. That the scriptures we have are translations from Greek and from Hebrew and Aramaic. That most of the events I'm reading and most of the things I study are from lands far away. Of Egypt, of Israel, of the Middle East. And I'm confused by those things because racism has no place within the family of God. Because all in through Christ that we are brothers and we are sisters. We are family. We bring this all in. And once again, the list goes on. You have that list. I encourage you to go home and look up these verses of all these things that we have within the body of Christ. Of what is the church? And at the end of the day, you are the church. We are the church. We are called into His fellowship, redeemed by His blood. We all call Him Lord, we call Him Savior, and we worship Him together. And God works in our midst. We encourage one another. This is what the church is. It's not just a place you go to. So we talk about the idea, we're going to work this through backwards, right? We had to talk about the one holy Catholic church. You know, the term Catholic comes from the Greek word, right? Catholicos, which means universal, that's all it means. So once again, you see that word, you don't freak out. I think I was talking with Mark, and was it the Republican National Convention there? And you said they wanted to adopt the Apostles' Creed. And all of a sudden, here you are, you know, the Republican National Convention, and they're like, Catholic Church, and they're like, we're not Catholic. It's like, calm down, it's okay. It helps us understand these things. Right? But the important truth in that is that, look, we are all part of the body of Christ. Is that there is a universal and there is a local church. And the Bible talks about both of these. So it's important for us to understand this. That in here, the body of Christ, the universal church, the Catholic church, even if I dare say that, is a one global church made up of all believers. If you are a believer of Jesus Christ, as he is your Lord and Savior, you are part of the church. Now, you may attend a different local church, right? You may live somewhere else, but because Christ is the head of the church, and notice how many churches are there? There is one church. And we are all together. And somewhere along the lines, you gotta realize that the church up the road is not the enemy. They're family. Now, don't get me wrong, there are churches that preach the truth, that stand on the gospel, right? There are churches that do not preach the gospel. They preach about other things. They are not part of the universal church. But we got to be very cautious because the membership of the church isn't based on my doctrinal statement. Isn't that you're baptized in my church? It's all acceptance of what Christ has done for us. And somehow we got to realize that the church is bigger than me. Right? It transcends geography. Right? There are Christians all around the world right now who are part of the church. There are people who do not look like me, who worship the same God, who are redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. Different denominations. This morning there are those who are truly sons and daughters of God, who sit quietly on their hands. There are those who are jumping up and down right now and waving and clapping. And all types of things in between. And they are my brothers and sisters in Christ. I have pastor friends who I consider brothers in Christ, who are kind of broad scope across different denominations, but they believe and love the same Jesus. And so we got to be careful that we reject those that Christ has accepted. Now, we can agree on different doctrinal things, and there's a reason why we believe what we do, and in your scriptures, let me show you, and someone may have a different interpretation of that, and they go to the church up the road, and if they hold to Jesus Christ, being the Son of God, died, buried, and rose again, that they are believers in Christ, they may differ on some different things. Some of it's style, but they are the body of Christ. Ephesians tells us there is one body and one spirit, just as you were called to one hope in your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, the unity of the body of Christ. There is only one church as far as the universal goes. But the scripture talks about the local church, the local assembly. In here, it talks about in Corinthians, it says, to the church of God which is at Corinth, and to those who are sanctified in Jesus Christ, called to be saints, with all who are in every place, call upon the name of our Lord, both theirs and ours. Romans says, likewise, greet the church that is in their house. It's interesting, the early church didn't have buildings, they met in houses. In the churches, they were told to appoint elders in every church. And we see this played out, that we have the universal church. We're all part of this great body of Christ. But locally is where things get played out. In here we have accountability, responsibilities. In here that we give and support. We administer our gifts and abilities for the edification of the saints. You know, over the years we've kind of People have lost that sense of the local church. You know, I can just watch online or I'll just watch on TV and that's my church. I remember one gentleman went and visited in the hospital and he goes, well, I don't go to church. He goes, I just watch, you know, I'll watch this church on TV and that's my church. I said, that's, you know, it's good you get encouragement and all that. I said, but how many of those TV people have come to visit you while you're in the hospital? He says, no one. Because how many of those people on the TV pray for you? I said, well, they say they do. I said, do you really think they know your name? He says, probably not. See, the local body of Christ is important for us to live out our faith. Actually, I made a quick little chart talk about the universal church and the local church. The universal church is visible, right? But it's a spiritual reality. The local church is a gathering and it's a local expression of that. The universal church has a unified doctrine. There are certain things to have to believe to be part of the church, but we have the local church and we have distinctions. And in you, we fill out the gaps in the scriptures and study it together. That in you, there's leadership, accountability, and responsibility. You know, when you're not here, you're missed. Because you're part of the family. The universal church includes all believers. The local churches are believers in one place. The universal church, Christ is the head, and the local church, God has put in place elders and pastors who lead as under-shepherds of Christ. The universal church also extends into a future hope and heavenly assembly. But the local church is a present reality and a community. We see these things played out. And you can't have one without the other. I'm a big local church guy. I think it's important for the local church to gather together. It's good to have that relationship, that accountability. That when I need prayer, I know you will be willing to pray for me. When there's a need, I know you are willing to step up and help me along the way. That's what family does. And we play this out. And I fear that in our society today, we have people who call themselves Christians are not connected to the local church and are missing out on so many things. Right? We've, over the last couple of years, have had many people pass away. We've had some people leave here. And I don't know about you, but that bothers me. That hurts me. I was talking to another pastor, and I said, yeah, I said, you know, we had a family leave the church and decide to go somewhere else. And I grieve that. It's like, you know, that's almost empty nest syndrome, right? This is someone I love who's kind of gone off. And they're like, well, don't take it so personal. I said, what do you mean by that? He goes, well, you know, my years of ministry, I've just learned not to get too attached. So don't take it personal. I'm like, that's exactly the opposite of what the church should be. Right? Church should be a place where you can be honest and real and people love you anyways. Who will encourage you in your ways. Who will support you. Pray for you. Sometimes set you straight. Maybe tell you what you don't want to hear, but you need to hear. And I've said this over the years that church is one of those places that the more you give into, the more involved you are, the more you do, the more you show up, all these things, the more you get out of it. And we're called to those things. You know, look at the list of all the things we're called to, the idea of the body, and we are all parts together. And I don't know about you, but I like all my body parts. A building needs all its walls. All these things are played out. And the church is hampered when we're not involved in doing. So we talk about the one holy Catholic Church. And the last point I want to bring up this morning is the idea of being holy. That in here we are called to be set apart. Set apart from the world and for God. To be apart, set apart from sin. And to live lives that are pleasing to Him. Peter tells us about the church, says you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, and his own special people. that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into the marvelous light. As Christians, we are called out of the darkness of this world, and we live in the light. Let's walk in the light as he is in the light. As we do that, we have fellowship with God, and we have fellowship with one another as we walk in those ways. And because of that, because of what he called us out to, folks, it needs to generate within us a joy to live for him. And all that I do, to live my life pleasing to him. And in here, we are chosen. We're a royal priesthood and a holy nation. And I fear that the church has lost its power because we've become like the world. You know, we want to affirm and make people feel comfortable when God has called us to turn from our sins. And when I'm offended by his truth, I have a choice. I can walk away or I can fall on my knees and repent. That God's word is true. And Lord, help me, as long as I have breath to preach, Lord, help me to preach the truth of the Word of God. Because that is what changes people. Right? Church isn't a place where you just kind of feel warm and fuzzy. It's a place where we come and worship the true God. In Ephesians, he uses the illustration of husband and wives to talk about Christ in the church. And Ephesians says, husbands, love your wives as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her. Notice what it says, that he may sanctify and cleanse her by the washing of the word, that he might present to her, to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy without blemish. He uses this illustration of husband and wife as Christ in the church. And he goes on and extends that. That look, at the church is to be holy, washed with the Word. And we need to be in the Word of God. That's why, you know, we have Sunday school where we dig in. We have Sunday morning where you guys are kind of, you know, you're stuck here listening to me. Sunday night we sit down and open the Bible and have interactive questions. We do this on Wednesday as well. Right? We do all these things. Why? So that we're in the Word. That you are nourished spiritually to live the Christian life. The Bible says people perish for their lack of knowledge. That we live in a society that is really biblically illiterate. And I think that's on purpose. So many times I've had a conversation with someone. I said, well, the Bible says blah, blah, blah. And I'm thinking, no, the Bible doesn't say that. Or Jesus said this. And I'm like, where's that? Well, it's in there somewhere. I'm like, okay. And in here, we try to dish out God's word that you may consume it, that you can grow, that you can know him. We are called to be holy. It says, therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. That in here we can live out that holiness, right? We can live out being different. And in here he talks about that within the church first. You know, I'll get phone calls from folks from all over, but I got a call from someone down in Brunswick. They're like, well, we just moved to Maine and we need some money. And I'm like, where are you? They said, well, we're down in Brunswick. I'm like, how'd you hear about us? She goes, well, I just Googled churches in Maine, and I have a list of 100 churches I'm just calling. I said, well, come on out. Come to church. And time and time again, I've done this more and more. Someone asking and calling. I said, you know what? Why don't you come to church? We'll talk about it afterwards. And people are like, well, no, no, no. I don't want the church. I just want the money. And then that wrap up a lot of our society today. Right? I want sort of the benefits of these things. But I don't want God. And we play this out, and one of the benefits, you know, we're not a rich church. You know, we count our pennies and try to be wise with what comes in, and but I've said this within the body of Christ, that if there was a need, The people here will help you. Right? We may not be able to give you a lot of money, but I'll guarantee none of you are ever going to starve to death. That's what church families, right? And we live in a world that's so isolated from that. That we've lost the goodness. You know, some of you remember the day when everyone belonged to a church. And we're isolated from that so much. Is it any wonder that we have mental illness issues skyrocketing? That in here, loneliness, depression, and despair are on the upcreep. I don't know. I'm so glad I belong to the family of God. To live holy lives. Peter warns, he says, for the time has come for the judgment to begin at the house of God. And if it begins with us first, what will be the end of those who do not obey the gospel of God? Peter gives a warning that this world's going to go through a purification, if you will. Judgment is going to come. And it begins in the house of God. I pray for a revival in our country. I pray that our country turns back to God. I don't know about you, but that's one of my prayers. We've gone so far. But you know where I want it to start? Within the church. I pray within my life, Lord. Am I in line with what you want? Am I living something that's pleasing in your sight? Do I cling to the truth? Let revival start here. You drive around and I don't think there's a shortage of churches in Maine. But unfortunately, so many of them do not preach the truth. And we need to pray for revivals in churches. It's interesting. Just recently, there was a letter that was going out. It was supposed to be an open letter. Christian Civic League was asking. It was asking about abortion. And just basically saying that God gives life at conception and every life is valuable and these lives are created in the image of God. And they need our protection. I was talking to Carol Connolly, and he sent out and he was asking churches if their pastors would sign this letter, just declaring a simple biblical truth. And within the state, I think there was only ended up being about 50 or 60 pastors who were willing to sign that. Stand up for the truth, for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Lord, bring your church, purify your church. Right? There are people who come to church that aren't the church. There are people who come to church who do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior. And we invite them to come, but I pray that they will repent and believe in Christ. That they come not only to the church, but now become part of the church. The body of Christ. So we believe in the Holy Catholic Church, the body of Christ. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the family that we can belong to, Lord. Lord, it's a family bonded by blood. Lord, not by relation, but by the blood of the Lamb. Even this morning as we partook of the communion, Lord, a reminder that we are bought with a price. And Lord, as the redeemed, Lord, let us say so. Lord, as the redeemed, I pray we live for you. That we will bless you in our lives. That we will function and be your hands and feet into this world, Lord, that needs it more than ever. Lord, thank you that we are part of the family of God. Lord, we ask this in your name. Amen.